2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And we've found out that the evil works aren't just the stuff you do. The evil works are your thoughts. And so yesterday we started going over the scriptures that concern themselves with that. So the last one that we looked at, excuse me, was Psalm 56. So let's look at that just to review. Remember, the Psalms are written by the Spirit of Christ, or Spirit of God, in David, for Christ as he walked the earth, and for the now Christ in you, the hope of glory. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would swallow me up, for they are many that fight against me, O thou most high. For man would swallow me up, and many would fight against me. That's every man who fights against this mystery of Christ in you, the fulfilled work of God. All right, go back to Psalm 37 a minute. Since Ronnie isn't here, we can go backwards. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, fret is a word, obviously, that means to be troubled in your mind about something. So this is the fret not psalm. There is nothing that can happen to you. There is nothing that can transpire in your life that is a justification for being out of the rest. In truth, anything other than perfect peace is fretting. And therefore, your thoughts, you end up doing the evil work. Everybody understand that? What?
Well, I'm just thinking how that's an easy thing to say, and yet when extreme pain comes on you, do you fret, or do you?
If I do, I say, Father, forgive me immediately.
Immediately?
Immediately. I did it yesterday morning, or maybe the day before yesterday when I had that, felt like I was being electrocuted in here.
Yeah. Well, you've had a lot of experience there.
Yes, thank you. All right. Psalm 94. Psalms are good. I'm sure he needs my approval on them. Verse 8. Understand, ye brutish, you beasts among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of men, that they are vanity. And in Hebrew it says, altogether fruitless, empty, without purpose. Can you conceive of that for a minute? Isn't this the place where your battle is always? All right. Psalm 119. That's the one we're waiting for John to put to a song so he can die.
Psalm 119?
119. A very long psalm. Let's read it. So let's start in 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked, or wicked ones, have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And again, in Hebrew, the way Hebrew is, that verse could be also translated, I hate thy thoughts which are vain. Empty. Remember, vain doesn't mean you like to look in the mirror in Hebrew or in the Bible. Vain means
fruitless,
empty, without value, without purpose. All right, let's go now to Proverbs. We're going in trying to go in order here. Chapter 16. The preparations of the heart in men and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. This is critical. In Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs 3 a minute.
Go back where?
Proverbs 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, all means all. No matter what it is that you're doing, acknowledge that it's him. Even the secret things. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And it's only then will he direct your path. If you're not acknowledging him in something, then he, by definition, he must allow you to continue down that track until you fall into the pit again. All right? What? You're doing it again, Gary.
I've been doing it all day.
big.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. It continues to speak to the fact this is all what Christ does. It's not about what I do. It's about what
you do. Yes, it is about what you do. It's you finding the emptiness of your life and then committing, then emptying, then totally empty. It's always about repentance.
Well, isn't that what he did?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. That's what he's doing it in me. Same thing. That's the seed doing.
But he won't, remember, he will never, ever, ever go where you are. His humility is so great. So the mystery of God is then just mortify your flesh. I mean, it's gone. You don't give it any breath anymore. It's not important.
Yeah, it is just a constant. It's an ongoing.
Right. Repentance isn't a thing you do. It's a way of life. All right. Isaiah 55. Remember, we're studying what. I'm going to go back there a minute. You don't have to. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And we're finding out that all our thoughts are the evil work. But he can't deliver you unless you repent. You can live in your thoughts. You can live in these great ideas. And like Ronnie was trying to do good. And it, boom. Nothing.
The way that's hitting me is you are delivered because he is the deliverance. You are in him, and that's deliverance. He doesn't deliver you so you can do some more good stuff and bad stuff.
All right, that refers to what we're going to look at here. Yeah, Isaiah 55. Ho!
Ooh.
Everyone that thirsteth. Now, thirst, remember, always refers to finding your worth. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness or in satiation. Anything you drink, even if whatever you're doing, if you're drinking coffee, if you're drinking wine, if you're drinking water, it's you in your mind, that's you're drinking the blood. Whatever goes into your mouth, whatever it is, it's a constant reminder that my only sustenance is his flesh. Every time you take a breath, you inhale him, you inhale the Holy Spirit, and you exhale you. So the very way in which your body works is a revelation that should be constant so that your mind is always renewed, even by the activity of your little body or big body, or your big body, whatever, or your big belly. That was for Gary's purpose.
I was hoping it
wasn't. What? John's allergic to me again. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked, or the wicked one, forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now the issue there is there's none that isn't wicked, and there's no thoughts that are unrighteous, or there's no man that is righteous. So it's saying, you forsake your way and you forsake your thoughts because all are evil. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return, and return, remember, is shub, repent, unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. No matter how many times you put the name of God on your thoughts, they're never your thoughts. I mean, they're never his thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen? That's pretty definitive, right? Seems like every one of these is pretty definitive. We've only had ears to hear.
Yeah.
All right, go to Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when melting fire burneth, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, that which he hath prepared for them that waiteth on him. That's quoted in Second Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at see how Paul quoted that. I think you're right. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or that have been perfected, are tested, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So it can't, when it says entering into the heart, that means there's nothing about it that you can see or know by the senses. But in Isaiah, he said, for them that wait on him, and Paul, targuming it, said, for them that love him. The evidence that you love him is that you wait on him. It's not lean on your own arm of understanding in any issue whatsoever. All right? Jeremiah, chapter 4. Are you beginning to see the numbers of places in the scripture where it talks about your thoughts? Jeremiah. Verse 4, just one verse. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within you? That's what he's saying to you today. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within you? Now I'll go to Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. What?
Thank you.
Start in verse 6.
What, 1:6?
No, 3:6, I'm sorry. Yeah, we get it, go up earlier. Stop in verse 1, chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. The Lord who you seek shall come suddenly come to you, for you are his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now again, this is obviously speaking in the flesh of John the Baptist. But every time we do Passover, every one of us needs to... And John the Baptist was said was come as Elijah. And every time we do Passover, each one of us takes a sip from the cup of Elijah, testifying that this is now our job also.
And his message was repent, prepare you the way by repentance.
And knocking down the hills and building up the valleys. That's what he does.
Yeah. And that makes it ready.
So knocking down the hills, the high places is what it really says. Knocking down the high places and building up the low, the valleys, which the valleys are your self-loathing and your all that other stuff.
Either one's here.
But both of them are you, so yeah. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling as wages, the widow and the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are accursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation or people. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of blessing, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, now listen carefully to this, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. Then, listen, now this is the one. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Or another way of saying, again, equally valid, and him you'll discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth himself. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and they that thought upon his name spake often one to another. And they spake not about the crap that's in time and space, but they spake often one to another about this mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen?
Is that the different thought there, or is that the same thought as?
Let your speech and your thoughts thereby be seasoned with salt. As long as you have the component of eternity in your speech and thought, they that thought upon his name.
Remember, we talk all the time, don't think thoughts are bad, or repent. Think.
Yeah, but what happens is that those that fear the Lord, what happens then is the if you're thinking at all, it's the thoughts concerning this mystery, and every thought of that leads you to repentance. There can be no, you can't think on this without seeing your own evil and his majesty. All right. Well, let me see. We got to there. So now we've got a bunch in the New Testament. I just want you to see that when this mystery takes place and you stop all of the efforts to redeem yourself, to have even self in the picture, then the whole mystery of God starts being revealed And you then, you know, wherever you look, you see the perfection of His holiness. Wherever you see, and whatever you're looking at becomes, whether it's a tree or a squirrel or a pecan or anything, you see this mystery. All the animals without self-awareness. All the things that happen in the mystery of how, what's this thing called intuition? And what does that have to do with us? We begin to see that there's, once we have destroyed the walls of Jericho, which are the walls of our mind, and just let them fall, and then everything is new. And that's what all this is about. And so it never again, this thing of what does this mean to me, never enters your heart again. And if it does, you start getting sick to your stomach. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. Anybody else? Anybody think? No, I'm going to go there. Take it, big guy.